We have another 2-minute clip for you. This is Emotions Under Control. Aren't you glad you're here already? I believe if anything needs to be controlled, the church is a place to get it straight, don't you? The house of God, the people of God will help you. So we're going to talk about one more time emotions under control. How'd you like last week's clip? The lady having a little spasm? Use the term a little loosely. It's kind of like we'll do it. A little spasm. This is the under control part. This is just really cute. So we're going to play it and let you see it. It's real short. But you'll get, remember, under control.
Charlie bit me. Charlie bit me. And that really hurt, Charlie, and it's still hurting.
I love that. Charlie bit me and that really hurt. We should be so controlled, and we're going to be, because the Holy Ghost and the Word of God is going to help us. Much of the world thinks of emotions as a field of response. Bad situation, bad response, good situation, good response. That means we have no responsibility, no control, no authority. Well, that can't be right, can it? You know, the plan of God was, there was a plan for the spirit of man. And we can choose. We can choose life, we can choose death. God said, I've set before you life and death. Choose life. So you have a free will and you can make a choice. And you choose the very life and nature of God for your spirit. Now your mind is supposed to be renewed, but you can remain ignorant if you want to. Nothing is automatic. Nothing is poured into you. Nothing is beyond your reach or beyond your control or beyond the control of the Spirit and the Word of the living God. So you can choose wisdom. And you can meditate in God's Word and ask for the help of the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of Truth, the teacher of the church, and He'll help you to grow in wisdom. But we have a plan for the physical body as well. Man is spirit, soul, and body, the soul being the mind, the will, and the emotions. So there's a plan for the body, and the body is to remain crucified or mortified. I looked up the word crucified this yesterday, and it says to extinguish. Don't you love that? That means there's some things that flame, that could flame and flame out of control, but we're going to extinguish them. We're going to put a lid on some things. We're going to recognize some things that will not enhance our life, that will not draw us to the Spirit of the living God, and we're going to take control. You have the authority to take control. Now, if God had a plan for the Spirit, and He did, if He had a plan for the mind, and He did, and had a plan for the body, and He did, to be without a plan for the emotions makes no sense whatsoever. You know, it says in Genesis that God breathed in the man, man became a living soul. So the soul and the emotional capacity of man was God's idea. Psalmist said man was wonderfully made. If we have no control over our emotions, if we are a prey to our emotions, if our emotions have kind of free reign, free will, and do their own thing, then I'd say we could have been wonderfully made. We should have been wonderfully made. It's a good try, God, but you left out something. But you see, the plan for the body, the plan for the mind, the plan for the spirit, there's a plan for your emotions. But just like you choose life and you choose knowledge and you choose to crucify the flesh, you must choose to take control over your emotions. Do you know your emotions will run away? You know, when man was created, God looked at all of His creation in the entire garden and He said, this is very good. I don't think He could have said that if He had left out the realm of the emotions. Well, we make excuses for ourselves. Well, you know how I am. I say you am wrong, so you am needing to repent here. Or we blame some nation. Well, you know, we're Irish, or we're Italian, or, well, you know, I was raised by a single mother. I don't care if you were drug in by a dog and a cat. God created you wonderfully, and you were created very good. And you have authority in your own life. Now, I know that because it says, be angry and sin not. That means you can be angry and sin, or you can be angry and sin not. That means I have a choice here. Emotions are more of a choice than a response. It is a response based upon your choice. So I have a choice if I'm angry. The other thing that proves it to me, besides the fact that I'm wonderfully made and that God had a plan for every part of me, is a scripture that says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. That means they could be unacceptable. What would make my words unacceptable? Me. It's a choice I make. You know, it says, let all filth of communication. That doesn't just mean cursing, but it means anything inappropriate doesn't come out of my mouth. Well, I make that choice. I choose. I decide. Now, the first key to emotional control is recognizing yourself. That's amazing, isn't it? Just recognizing yourself and desiring change. Now, as much as you would think, you wouldn't have to say this, but there are people that don't desire change. I know because I've already talked to them. And one lady cried and cried and cried and cried and cried, and she let me know right up front that I was not. She says, you're not taking my tears from me. She's very happy where she was. You have to choose. You have to look in your spirit and choose and say, okay, maybe you should tone it down, Becky. You know, I said, Wayne's a pouter, I'm a shouter. That means I always had words to say. I could explain, and then I'd give explanation to my explanation, and if he didn't go for that, I'd give explanation to the explanation of my explanation. And over the years, I found out that was a lost art because Wayne has 6 senses. I think most guys do. He has what we call automatic tune-out. Click. I just don't get to him. He's kind of like a brick wall. So I thought, well, I'll take up pouting. He doesn't say much, so I just won't say much. Well, I had a little problem with that, but after a while, I caught on. I can out-pout the best of them. I just won't say anything. I just won't ever speak to you again. Who needs you? See, it doesn't matter which extreme your emotions are, whether you're one who is volatile. One fellow blamed it on his red head. He said, well, you know I'm a redhead. I thought that's one of the poorest excuses I've heard in a long time. What about the artificial redheads? I'm just wondering. No, you're going to have to realize, no matter how you got where you are, you and God have to make the changes, have to bring up the solution. We want to blame someone else. We want to blame our background, or our nation, or the color of our hair, or our family. But the truth is, they were probably involved, and if they were involved, they may have caused some trauma in your life, but they're not around for the solution. You and God are going to solve this problem. So it doesn't matter, except we're going to forgive them. And when we forgive, we forget. And if we haven't forgotten, we haven't really forgiven. That means the details are not clear to you, and it doesn't traumatize you if we rehearse all the details. Once somebody said to me one time, weren't you and so-and-so close friends? I said, we were. I said, what happens? I said, oh, I don't see her much anymore. I'm trying to make light of it. Truth is, we had a little to do, and we couldn't bridge the gap and get it back together. We had a conversation. I talked. We agreed to disagree, and then we didn't see much of one another after that. She said, well, what in the world happened? I said, well, she said, and I said, no, no. I said, and then she said, and no, no, let me see. And the truth was, I had just forgotten. I said, oh, I don't know. She said, that makes no sense to me at all. I said, it makes no sense to me either. See, Almighty God, if you choose to change, God chooses to change you. He chooses to rearrange you. He chooses to make you into His image. He chooses so that people look at you and say, Christian, Christian, God-like. And that has to do with my just facing myself. Now, we don't know ourselves very well. I know that. Because you'll ask somebody, what's your favorite color? Blue, maybe blue. You'd think that would be easy. That's the easy question. Why'd you do that? I don't know. I was coming around Lake Hollingsworth years and years and years ago, just thinking to myself, and somebody had made a comment, and I said, that's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought. And I heard these words in my spirit. I wish you wouldn't say that all the time. I said, Lord, I don't say that all the time. I said those very words. I don't say that all the time. This was decades ago. You know, I've lived my life now. I don't really live by years. I'm in my 6th decade. 6th decade, that doesn't sound quite as overwhelming. So I began to take note every time I said that. And you know what? God was right about me. I said that all the time. Now, it wasn't that He didn't want me to be repetitive, that He didn't want to hear those words anymore. He knew those words weren't entirely honest. You beget certain habits, and I was just in a habit of saying, oh, I knew that. I'd say I knew that when I didn't know that, because I always said that's what I always said. It's like saying, yeah, well, really? I just said, oh, I know that. But it wasn't entirely true. And God wanted to correct me. He dealt with me in order to correct me because he could see the error of my way, because he knew me and he knew I didn't know myself. I did not know I was doing that. It wasn't a week later before I said, I am so sorry, God. I say that all the time. I say it when it's true. I say it when it's not true. I just automatically say, I knew that. It's just automatic response. But you know what? I've said it for a long time, so I'm going to need some help making some corrections or adjustments. Well, there isn't any better helper than the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And your solution, no matter where you got in your trauma, your drama, is in the Word and in the Spirit. In the Word and in the Spirit. And we begin with the Word. Now, let's read a couple scriptures. I want you to look at Hebrews. This is one of my favorites. Just to prove to you, chapter 4, verse 13, that God knows you. He knows what you need. If it's not obvious to you, he can deal with you and make it obvious to you. I don't run from God, I run to God. I said, I'm not afraid to be corrected or adjusted. I'd rather be adjusted by God than anybody I know. Because God has mercy, he has compassion, and he has justice and great accuracy. And that appeals to me. Doesn't it appeal to you? You know, I've had it said to me more than once, I know why you said that. And then they'll tell me why I said it. I never had thought of that before in my entire life. I thought, well, Ma, I could have said it for that. I wish I'd have thought of that. But that wasn't why I said it. You don't know me. Sometimes I don't know me. Only God, Almighty God. Here's my favorite. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature, would that include you, that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God knows all things. He sees all things. The 139th Psalm said he knows your down sitting and your uprising. Now that's old King James. But that's when you sit down, when you rise up, she's up, God says. Up, she's down. She's up, she's down. She's up, she's down. The God who knows every hair in your head, knows every thought in your mind, knows every word that you speak, knows why you said it, even when you don't know why you said it, knows why you did it, even when it's not clear to you. And he's willing to help you. He's not mad at you. He's willing to help you. And all I have to do is be willing to be helped. So God, I know you know. And here's the important part. He knows that you don't know. Might as well admit it. One lady came to me. I used to do some counseling here. I'm so glad I've been delivered. I never felt like I was adept at that. It takes an awful lot of prayer to figure people's problems out. One lady said, every time this happens, this is what I do. And she gave several instances, same situation, identical in some measure. And she said, no, that's what I'm going to do. She said, why do I do that? And I thought, I don't have a clue. And I thought, now that is, why would you do that? And I said, you know what? I'll pray. And God will tell us. She wanted to know. She wanted help. She knew her response was not correct. She didn't know why she responded that way. Why is not always important, but it was important to her. So I prayed. It wasn't 24 hours before the Lord dealt with me, and I know exactly why she did that. Knew exactly, exactly, exactly. God knows you. He knows your response. He knows responses are neither good or bad. They're either under control or not under control. Be angry and sin, or be angry and sin not. You choose. And if I find myself constantly making wrong choices, or if God deals with me and say, mm-mm. You know, I said last week, every kid knows what that means, don't they? Sometimes God does that, does he? He has to say, See, and I'm paying close attention because God wants the best for me. He wants me to rise up to the height of the full stature of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He wants me to represent God on the earth. And you can't represent God on the earth as every time you stick your head out the door, you holler at the children, you get yourself in this house this minute. If I have to tell you another time, and all of the neighborhood knows, they say, oh, that's just, she hollers all the time. Now go shine a little of your light in their life. And they'll not be readily receptive because they've heard you holler. And perhaps they've heard you curse. I hope not. They've seen you on the highway. Well, the Word works mightily. Hebrews 4 said the Word is quick and powerful. Quick and powerful. 4:12, just above this verse. Quick means it's alive. In other words, it's working. Anything that's alive is working, shifting, moving, doing. And God's word is alive. It's doing something. It's not doing what you don't want it to do. It's doing what you cooperate and ask it to do. You say, Lord, I'm submitted to you. Tell me about myself. Show me the changes that I need to make. He might just say, you know, if you'd not talk so loud, if you just lower your voice, it'd be good. Wayne's family are very quiet. They don't say much. If you go to a Cumbie family dinner and somebody's talking, I can guarantee you they married into the family. Guaranteed, because they're all very quiet. They don't say too much. All the talkers came by marriage. I first met Wayne, went to my first few family dinners. I said, you know, sometimes we have to learn to be kind, and so I've come a long way in all these decades. We've been married over 40 years. But I said, what does your family do? Just sit around and breathe on one another? Well, you're not going to get them to holler. They're just not hollers. They're going to withdraw. They're going to hide. They're not going to shout. Well, I always had words. I always had explanation. When I realized I had too many words and too many explanations and God was beginning to deal with me, see, he wants you to be the best that you can be on the earth. You are God's ambassador. You are his light. And you must be at your very best because the world is going to hell. But you can show it how to get to heaven. And your behavior and your deportment, your emotional response to life is going to make a tremendous difference. So I took the scripture that says a soft answer turns away wrath. Now, I know God didn't literally mean to whisper, but I thought it'd help me to whisper. So every time I got anger, and I would lower my voice. See, I made a choice to deal with me. First of all, Wayne doesn't listen when you holler at him. And second of all, God was tired of hearing it himself. And so I began to whisper. Now, I don't know why the children don't remember. Suzanne does all our tape editing, and she's heard me tell this story, and she says, I do not remember that. But forever and forever and ever, when I'd get really angry, I'd whisper. And when I'd say, Joel, come here. Children would go, oh. They know I'm really mad. The softer the answer, the madder the mother. I did that on purpose because I have to deal with me. I have to do something with me. I can't continue to live my life at that volume. I'm just putting it nice, Lord. I hope that didn't bother you. So I began to take the word, and I'd read that word, and I'd meditate, a soft answer, a soft answer, a soft answer, a soft answer. Give us soft answers. And then I took this last year. I was reading the translation. I can't tell you what the King James says, but the translator says, love is always considerate. That really grabbed my heart. See, God deals with your heart through his word. He gives you the scripture that you need. And I don't know why that scripture really grabbed and latched onto my heart. And I've been saying it and saying it and saying it. See, I'm giving God something to work with. Or so I'm always considerate. Always considerate. I'm considerate at all times. And every now and then, it'll roll past my thinking. I'm meditating in the word. Meditate is to mutter, to murmur, to say, to speak. I'm taking control of my life through the word because the word is alive. It's not a book. It's the word of a person. If I saw Jesus today or saw God today and said, don't know what to do about my money, he'd say, Becky, if you'd give, it'd be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Because God doesn't change, and his word doesn't change, and the word that worked yesterday works today and will work tomorrow. And so I begin to say, I'm always considerate. I'm always considerate. I found a couple of times I wasn't too considerate. I know that's why God began to deal with me and give me that word so that he could shape me up. Do you need to be shaped up? It's the word of the living God that's alive. Hebrews doesn't say there's power in the word. It says you have the word of power. Oh, and that makes a tremendous difference. Where's the power? It's in the words. Every word of God has the power to affect the change. Every word of God. Now, it's interesting. We talk about emotions as a response. A bad situation, bad response. We could prove that in several ways. First of all, James chapter 1, you might look over there. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Well, if emotions are always a response and we can't help it and we're not really in control and we have no responsibility, then there's no way they can tell me to count it all joy. Count it all joy means that the word temptation means antagonism of persons and pressure of circumstances. I love that's from Vines. Antagonism. Have you ever been antagonized? Antagonism of persons, pressure of circumstances. Is counted all joy when you're antagonized. First thing you're antagonized, you say, will you get off my case? Especially if it's your house. We are meaner to the people we live with than any people on the face of the earth. I would never come to Family Worship Center and say, you know, Brother Gary, just get off my case. I might say that at home. Would never say that here. So I need to be changed. I need to be corrected. I said, God, I know you saw, you heard that, didn't you? Sometimes I have to say, I say, okay, God, I know you heard that. Don't write that down, okay? Please, please don't write that down. Don't write that down. I'm going to change. Sometimes I can't change. I mean, just willpower, bulldog tenacity. I'm just going to make a change. I'm just going to lower my voice. I'm never going to get irritated. I'm always going to be considerate, right? I can't do it. But Christ in me, greater is he that's in me. It doesn't say lesser is he that's in you, greater. There's someone on the inside who's ready and able to help me, who has the very power of the universe, who said, light be and light was, who can say, Becky, and turn my life in just a split second from bad to good, from sharp to quiet. Oh, thank God. I've been undermined twice. I've been undermined a lot, but twice that I couldn't quite get over it. One time, I took all the scriptures. In fact, a lady offered this before computers. Is that how long ago it was? Thank God it was that long ago. And she typed up every scripture that said love in it in the New Testament for me. And I read them, not just for days or weeks, but I've read them for several years. And I took 1 Corinthians 13, and I analyzed every word in the Greek and every word in Webster's Dictionary. And if I looked up the word malice and it said envy, then I looked up the word envy. And I had a whole trail of words and definitions. I can still quote most of them to you because I read them consistently. Because I was not going to let this situation cause me to miss the love of God. And the first thing you want to do is whatever you do, whether you pout and retreat or whether you shout and stomp. Both extremes. See, people, you are a conglomerate of your heredity and your environment. And we're no two people alike. And you may have been in an environment where you were abused. And that's going to be a part of your response to life without God. But with God, that's going to change. There was a lady that raised puppies. She raised poodles. She told this story. It's a true story. And somebody called her and said, my neighbor bought one of your poodles. And a few days ago, they put it in the garbage can with their cat and put some garbage on it, hoping the garbage man would just take it and it would be killed, you know, in the garbage truck. But she said, I heard them making fuss out there, and I let them out and put them back in the neighbor's garage. But a few days later, said she put the dog back in the garbage can. I put it back in the garage, but I think you would want to know that. So she had children. She told her children, I'm going to get the puppy. So she called the people and said, I'm bringing you your money back, which was gracious of her. And she said, I'm on. Bring the puppy home. And they say, oh, no, we love that puppy. Say, oh, no, I'm not. I don't holler. Well, you try that on God and see if God agrees with you. She said, yeah, I know what you're doing to the puppy, and I know you don't love the puppy, and I'm coming, and I'll be there tomorrow, and you can give me the puppy. I'm calling animal control, but I'm having that puppy. Well, she brought that puppy home. It instantly went under the sofa. It wasn't interested in greeting the children. It had been raised in that household, but it was frightened, so terribly frightened. It went under the sofa, didn't come out. She said for days and days and days, they put food under the edge of the sofa and water under the edge of the sofa and left the dog alone. Eventually, they had to nurture it and bring it back. Well, not every dog responds that way. Some little puppy will bite your leg off. They've been abused, they've been hurt, and they'll just bite your leg off. And then the next dog, he'll bark like he's going to bite and he'll run hide. See, and that's the way you are. You're a conglomerate of what you have in you and what's been done to you and how you've lived your life. But it doesn't matter how you've come together. In Christ, there's going to be for you a divine solution. It's going to begin with God's promises in the Word. It's going to begin when you embrace the Word. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6 it is. And let's read one scripture. Let me show you something. So it doesn't matter to me if you snap and snarl. If you hide and retreat. Holy Ghost in you, if you trust Him, will do something real neat. He'll raise you up. Cause you to walk higher and higher. The things of the Spirit in you, He'll magnify until you're set free. I love the words of Martin Luther. I love them. I love them. He said, free at last. Thank God Almighty. Free at last. And see, in Christ, it says, if we continue in the Word, you shall know the truth, And the truth will set you free. There's three arenas of truth. There's the truth about God, the truth about the devil. Those are the easy part. And the truth about you. That's the hard part. One lady asked, could she see me and meet me at Burger King? So I went. I'm a nice person, and I went. And she wanted to just correct me a little, and I really resented it. And I'm sitting there listening to her, and I'm being nice, and I'm thinking, you know, lady, you could mind your own business. I didn't say it. I'm just thinking it. And I smiled, and I thanked her for her interest, and we had our coffee, and I went home, and I thought, sheesh. But over a period of the next week or two, I found out she was right about me. I'm so grateful today that she was sent by the Holy Ghost to help me. And I believe in being nice. The lady, I read all the scripture. I read those scriptures and read those scriptures. I was always nice. We didn't go to church together, didn't live anywhere together, and wouldn't see her too much, but I would see her on occasion. I always smile, and she'd always say, it's good to see you. And I said, it's really nice to see you. Because you're a Christian. You are a Christian. That means Christ-like. And I can't rebuke her, and I can't holler at her, and I can't talk about her, and I can't judge her, and I can't criticize her. I'm God's kid. And I have to operate God's way. But it was difficult to get my actions were deliberate, to get my heart lined up with what I said. My heart said, oh, here she comes again. And my mouth would say, it's good to see you. But years came and went. We had a big meeting here, and she came. I passed her in the hall, and she said, hey, it's good to see you. And I said, it's good to see you again. And she said something I'll never forget. She said, you've done a lot better than I have. Now, I don't know if that was true or not, because she had done well. She's not talking about money, you understand, but things of the Spirit. I don't know if it was true or not. But it was her way of saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. The other lady that undermined me did decades of damage. I don't mean years of damage, decades of damage. And I loved her, and I embraced her, and I spoke to her, and I sent birthday cards. I did all kinds of things because I cannot let what has happened to me control my life and cause me to miss the plan and purpose of God. I will not do it. Now, I'm tempted. You know, Wayne would just go to his room and never come out. Me, I'd say, all right, now let me tell you one thing, lady. See, the Word has power. And I had embraced the Word, and I had meditated, and I had read it, and I had quoted it. I gave God something to work with. I did it deliberately. I do not want my head and my heart to be on a different track. I want my heart to agree with my head, but I couldn't make it happen. I tried, and I quoted scripture, and I prayed, and I said, God, please help me. Well, Rodney Howard Brown was in town. I'll tell you exactly how it happened. See, because the Word works and the Spirit works. And if you're honest with God and you want to be changed and you're tired of raising your voice or you're tired of hiding or you're tired of snapping at people and you say, wow, and you look in God's mirror, the mirror of the Word, and say, shoo, I need help. There's an old song. I know you won't know it. Nobody knows old songs but me. Old people know old songs. I got that figured out. I have a theory about music. I think your brain freezes in a particular era of music, and you never get beyond that. And my brain is frozen in about the 50s in the middle of the hymnal. But there was an old song that said, Jesus will fix it. Yeah, 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 Jesus will fix it. And do you know he will? Do you know he can? Do you know he wants to? But he won't bully you. He's not going to knock you down, stand on you and say, if you don't change that attitude, I'm going to break your neck. No, he's going to keep calling. He's going to keep saying, come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, see, emotional turmoil causes us to be weary, to always have to step softly and to watch our words because our heart is not right. It's a trauma. It's a trauma. Well, Rodney Howard Brown was in town. I had prayed about that situation many times and had walked it out probably 30 years. It had been that long. always smiling, always not happy on the inside, just representing God best I could on the outside. You cannot let your emotions tell you what to say. You cannot let your emotions tell you what to say or how to act or how to respond, especially if they're not God's kind. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. I rest upon the word of God, not else is worth believing. You have to rest in God and rest on His word. Something came down over me and lifted that thing out of me. I ran to pastor. I was so excited. There was a door that opened and my heart was emptied of that. I mean, it was just gone. It was so obviously gone. It was supernatural. It was God. But I had stood. I had done what I knew to do. And I had cried out for help for decades. And Almighty God said, I see that. And today's the day I'm going to fix that for you. So the next day, I did run to pastor and tell him. He laughed and laughed. He said, you're the third one tonight. Oh, thank God, Holy Ghost swept in and said, I'm going to fix that, and I'm going to fix that, and I'm going to fix this. So the next night, we didn't have a Rodney Howard Brown meeting. Imagine that, a night off. And Wayne said, what do you want to do? And I said, you know, let's go visit so-and-so. He said, you're kidding, right? I said, no. Suddenly on the inside, I loved her. Just loved her. Now, she wasn't sure why I came, you understand? That's her problem. But we visited, had a nice visit. I was free. Free at last. Free at last. I couldn't set myself free. I'd tried. I'd whispered. I'd been kind. I'd been nice. I'd read all the scripture, quoted all the scripture. This is why I teach on love so much, because I've been there. This is what I know the best, that and healing, because I've had to practice it the hardest. So the next night, Wayne said, what do you want to do tonight? And I said, let's go visit so-and-so. He said, you just can forget that. I'm not taking you there two nights in a row. But I loved her. I just loved her. She had done more damage to my life. And I loved her. Just loved her. My God is so good. God is so good. God is good to me. He's so very good to me. Everybody can see He's more, so much more than I could possibly know. My God is good to me. He's good in me. And He's good on me. And He brought me rescue and He brought me deliverance. You know, if you're going to bake a cake, you just don't go in the kitchen, especially my kitchen, and bake a cake. You got to have some stuff. You got to have some ingredients here. I thought I'd make pumpkin soup. You like pumpkin soup? You're probably a southerner. You don't know a thing about pumpkin soup, right? Well, the only reason I know anything about pumpkin soup is because we've traveled. It's not a southern thing. But I got the recipe out, but I forgot it when I went to the store. So I got everything I could remember, but I forgot the coconut. It takes coconut milk for pumpkin soup. In Russia, they call it tom yam, and it's made with coconut and maybe acorn squash or something. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. This recipe is not Russian, but it's as American as Russian can get, as Russian as Americans can get, you know. But I forgot the coconut. I had the chicken broth. I had the beans. It takes white beans. I had the can of pumpkin. Can't make it without the coconut. It's missing. See, God knows. He searches your heart. He sees where there's a hole. He says, right there, right there. We got to put something in Becky right there in that spot. Now in Hebrews it says God deals with us. I love that. I've been dealt with. It's been my deliverance. I am not afraid. If things don't go wrong, things don't seem right to me, if I can't tone it down, calm down, or tune it up. Some of you need to tune it up. Some of you need to shut it up. You know what I'm telling you? Huh? Holy Spirit's just hovering. It's just that. Shh. God, you're good to me. You're really good to me. I said, help me, Jesus. Help, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. He said, I will. I will. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. You see what I liked about Charlie and this little boy? He caused his own problem. He stuck his finger in Charlie's mouth. It wasn't Charlie's problem. Charlie doesn't know any better. He has new teeth. He just chomped down. Do you know who usually causes my problem? I can blame Wayne. I can blame the children. I can blame... Well, the dog died, so I can't blame the dog anymore. But one fella told me that people that worry don't ever go anywhere. And he said, since the dog is not going anywhere anyway, I put him in charge of all the household worries. I thought it's a good idea. Because our dogs never went anywhere. They might as well do something. They can be in charge of worry. Are y'all out there? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Sometimes we cause our own wilderness. We could have taken the path through the woods, but we made a choice, ended up in the wilderness. Israel ended up in the wilderness. It wasn't the order or the plan of God. It was the choice of Israel. If I wake up in the wilderness, I'm going to start singing, help me, Jesus, help, help me, Lord, help me. They used to sing that on CIE. You remember that? That's where I learned it. I have great musical ability. Y'all can tell that, can't you? It says, count it all joy. When you fall into divers temptations, there's a reason you can count it joy. It says, because if you walk this out with God, you're going to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, the reward is going to be great. Perfect and entire. I've wanted to be perfect all my life. I wanted to be a perfect student. I couldn't get there. I did well, but I couldn't get there. I wanted to be a perfect wife. Well, I blew it the first 24 hours. I forgot the toothbrushes. Wayne had his. I didn't have mine. Because we did come from separate households. You write that down. And so early the next morning, the break of dawn, I said, Wayne, I have to have a toothbrush. Oh, I thought, mistake number one. Only been married 12 hours. Forgot the toothbrush. But he rescued me. Just like Jesus will. Now it says, we can read it, John 16. My, if you won't help, Jesus will help you. If you cry out for help, he'll come. He'll give you a word. One lady was considering having surgery. It was important surgery, but she didn't have to have it. She could just say, I'm not going to have that surgery. And she couldn't make up her mind, and she's praying about it. When the Lord dealt with her, I loved it. He said, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. But she's not praying about marriage. She's praying about surgery. You know what that means? Huh? It means don't have the surgery. What God hath joined together. She said, how would you interpret that? I said, I'd say that God said, don't have that surgery. And she didn't have it. And it was to her advantage. 33 years later, she still hadn't needed it. So God knew it was going to be all right. And he gave her that word. See, and the word is powerful. It's sharp. It's strong. It rescues. It delivers. It sets free. And if you don't have a word, that's where you need to begin. And then you cry out for the help of the Spirit. And you said, God, I know you see this. I know you know this. See, but if you'd have been abused like I was. Well, no, I wasn't abused. And I don't understand abuse. But it doesn't matter how you got where you are. In Christ, there's freedom. And we have to forget those things that are behind and press forward. You can't press forward without moving. You can't press forward in a stationary manner. If you're going to press forward, see, as we press forward, we move towards him who is and was and is to come. That means the people that caused this trauma are the people that I think caused this trauma. I've got to take my hands and my mind off of them. And say, Lord, I forgive. I forgive. Because they're not likely to be a part of your solution. They're not likely to say, oh, I'm so sorry I did that. If they didn't say it the day they did it, 10 years later, they're probably still not going to say it. The problem's not in them. The problem is in you. The solution is not in them. The solution is in you. And the solution is found as you make a God connection. And then he comes. Now, John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto me, that in me you might have peace. You got to stay in God. In the world you shall have tribulation. pressure, trouble, antagonism, evil, enemies, be of good cheer. I went to the doctor for a checkup, and they thought they should have this extra test. And they said, you want to do this while you're here? And I said, sure. And they said, this is going to sting a little. Well, one thing I know is the man that did the test had never had this test, because I would never tell you that test is going to sting a little. He needed a heavier word, a bigger word. When he got through with me, I could not. He said, now don't bother to get up. I thought, oh, I'm not getting up. There's no way I'm getting up. You can forget it. He said, we can do this without anesthetic, just sting a little. I thought, my, you should have this test. You could adjust your English. He's saying, we're just going to have this little tribulation, but be of good cheer. I sat in the parking lot. I drove myself, which I don't often. Wayne and I are a set. We're together. Very seldom go anywhere by myself. And so I sat in the parking lot. I happened to be by myself that day, very unusual. I called Wayne on the phone. He said, are you still at the doctor? I said, no, I'm sitting in the parking lot. I said, I can't come home, Wayne. I can't. I was just in agony, so much pain. And I can remember his wonderful, precious doctor saying, this is just going to sting a little. Wayne said, I'll come get you. I said, well, no, give me 30 minutes. Call me back. See if I can do it. I can get home in 30 minutes. Be of good cheer. See, you're going to have some trauma. You're going to have some ups and downs, some ins and outs. You're going to have some difficulties. You're going to have some tribulations, some anguish, some burdens. You're going to have some points of stress. You're going to be under some pressure. But Almighty God said, during those points, you can be of good cheer, because God, the greater one, lives on the inside, and He is going to help you. And if you lean on Him and you lean on His word and you trust Him. See, it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, because the trying of your faith. You must have had faith. Faith is trust in God and trust in God's promises. It says your faith was being tried, so you had to have faith. And if you just walk this out with faith and patience, you'll inherit the promise. You've come to a point of wanting nothing. And you can come to that point in God. The first step is, do you want help? Do you want to be different? It was right here at Family Worship Center. A lady said to her husband, can we do so-and-so? And he said, no, we can't. And you know we can't. I just happened to be standing within earshot. So if that was you, I won't tell if you won't tell. It wasn't you, because you're not in here. But I thought, I saw tears in her eyes. She's trying not to cry in public. Felt so sorry for her. I want to say, come here, sir. Come here to me. And I was in Walmart when a little kid said, can I have that? It happened to be someone I knew. Listen, you better behave. Someone will take your picture with their cell phone, and they will put it on the internet, and you will be wall to wall, coast to coast with your tantrum. And the mother raised her voice in no uncertain terms, said, you know we can't have that. You know we don't have any money. You know we never get to have anything extra. You know not to ask me for anything. She just hollered at this tiny little kid. Well, I did the brave thing. I just went on to the next apartment, pretending like I hadn't heard anything. I was in the grocery store, two babies in the cart. See, people have problems, but God has answers. Do they want the answer? Do you represent the answer? You've got to represent the answer. You've got to find it for yourself and represent it. Else you'll be the person hollering in the grocery store, in the department store. They don't know anything about Walmart-type stores in Russia. They've got their first ones 2 or 3 years when we were there, put in by a French company. And because they don't understand the concept, they left everything in boxes, and that's okay. Cut out the front of the boxes, that's fine. But they stacked the boxes up to the ceiling. So the item you need could be, you know, those are tall ceilings, big warehouse-type building. The item you could need is, and I'm looking for tea. I love tea. I'm not talking about Lipton, though I like Lipton. I'm talking about strawberry cream, or kiwi and raspberry, or ginger and lime. Winter fairy tea. Chocolate deluxe. And I'm looking, starting at the bottom, looking up to tea. Well, you needn't go but so high, because if that's the box you want, there's not even a ladder. There's not even a man with a ladder. They just don't get it. Sometimes people don't get it. But if you get it, you can be their example. You can say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. See, eventually with love, that little dog came out from under the sofa. Our neighbor, we're surrounded by a body of water, so we have what we call anointed waves. We just wave, hi. They wave. Well, you can't get there without getting in your car and going around Kalamazoo to get there. I did one time wade through the water, and I thought, well, I'll never do that again. So we just have waving. But one day I was going to talk to this lady, and I just really felt impressed, and so I finally got my way over there. And she had a big dog in the house, a really big dog. He came to alert like this. And she said, oh, he's a retired police dog. He won't bother you. Well, now I'm concerned. Does he know he's retired? That's what I want to know. I mean, does he know that? See, she's comfortable with him. She knows him. She knows he's not aggressive. He's big. He's at some kind of a, I don't know what kind of a stance that is, because I don't know my police dog stances. But he's at some kind of attention. And I'm thinking, boy, I hope I smell right. I know it don't smell like drugs. Don't know if he's offended by toothpaste. That's as close as I get to a drug today. But she knows him. You know the people around you, they know you. Oh, that's just Becky. She hollers all the time. Your dog knows you. I love dogs. We have had Pekingese for years. Our last Pekingese died. She was 16 years old, just over 16. I promised them they could live long upon the earth. I told them, I know you don't have a covenant with God, but I have a covenant with God, and you stick with me, and I'll cover you with my covenant. And you can live long upon the earth. And they did. And I loved them. I loved them. I adored them. And when Lady died, we named them after English nobility, and we had a princess, a duchess, a marquise, and a lady. A marquise, so they call it. And when she died, I was grieved, but I was not grieved. Like when Princess died, I lost 10 pounds. Pastor came to the house and prayed for me. I couldn't go to church. I was an emotional basket case, but I made a choice, and I said to Wayne and to my dear friend who prayed for me and helped me, see, the body of Christ will help you. We will help you. I said, that will never happen to me again. And I began to say, I love these dogs, but a dog is a dog. And they live temporarily, and they're a blessing temporarily, but they are not eternal, and I will not ever be devastated again by a dog. I began to say it. I made a choice. I made an emotional choice. Well, after Princess died, in the passage of time, at 10 years, Duchess died. I did better. I thought, oh, this is good. This is good. But I kept saying it. I got two more waiting in the wings. Marquise died an awful death. Awful, 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 awful. My, if I could have done that over, I'd do different. But I'd made a choice. And when I watched her and saw how tormented and tortured she was. You know they never do that on a Monday when the vet office opens. They only do that on Sunday when you got to go around here to the vet. Oh, don't even ask me. And he's a good vet. The emergency vet's a good man. But emergency veterinary medicine is very costly. And I watched her tormented and I watched her tortured. And I had to remind myself, I said, Becky, you said. See, and I said, God, help me. Help me. Help me. Because I made up my mind I would never be devastated again by a dog. And then last year, Lady died. And I held her in my arms. She was 16. And I said, we loved you. But in my heart, I was like those machines where somebody dies, you know, the machine just goes, my heart was just as steady. But this is what I did. See, God is, he's so good to me. You know, we just buried Princess. We just put her in the ground, just buried her. Oh, and I think we maybe wrapped her in something. And then we put the next two in a brand new garbage bag. Brand new. But by the time we got to Lady, I told Wayne, I want a coffin. She is buried in my yard in pressure-treated lumber. If I dig her up today, she's intact. But I'm not devastated because I made a choice. And when I made a choice and said, help me to overcome, God said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. About the time I got over our first dog's death, you know, lost 10 pounds, Pastor came out and prayed for me. The vet sent me a card. Nice card. We're so sorry about your loss. I cried and I cried and I cried. Wayne said, act your age. And I said, I would if I could. Jesus will help you. Yeah, yeah, Jesus will help you. You got to choose. Then you got to read and meditate. Then you got to be in the house of God where the anointing falls strong. And you got to stick with it till you get what you need. I thank you for my friends, our Father. Help every single one who has some emotional trauma or battle. And I thank you that you'll do that for each of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.